Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. It's Monday night, and as you know, that's Raising Expectations time, and Melvin and I are sure glad you tuned in tonight. We never take for granted, and all the team will tell you this too, you spending time with us on Monday nights and sharing prayer requests and things that God's doing in your life. Raising Expectations is about not so much what we can do, but everything that He can do, and we're all born-again believers. We believe that God is who He says He is. He's God, and that He's going to do what He says He will do. And He did. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, and He did. And He rose on the third day, just like He said He would. And so often, as you've heard us say, people will say, well, Pastor Joe, that's nice, but why do we care? Well, there's only two real reasons, if you want to get down to it in today's world. Number one, the whole world's still trying to figure out where they're going. Who are we? Why are we? Where are we going? We know. We're born again, blood-bought believers, and we've been forgiven of our sins by Jesus, and we are now in the family of God. And at that point, we not only know that God's going to work in our lives every day, and when we have questions, He has answers. We know when we die where we're going. Someday we'll all be together with Him because that is what God said He's going to do. And as the song says, Jesus never fails. So we're sure glad you're with us tonight, and we pray for you. Thanks for praying for us. We've got a great show tonight coming to you again on Raising Expectations, and we're proud to be a part of bbsradio.com, and I'm going to give you that website, bbsradio.com/raising-expectations, and I'm going to share our team again. We share it each week because so many of you ask. I still get questions. And who was this and who was that? Let's find out who we are, and we'll share with you. These people I introduce you tonight, Melba and I, this is my wife, Melba, and what we're going to share with you tonight, these people bless my life. Been in the ministry 55 years, and I tell you what, I've never been more blessed or more thankful for the people that God has allowed me to be a small part of their life as these people here on our team. If we go to the West Coast, or the left coast, as some political people call it, in the great state of California, you'll find there in the Santa Barbara near Lompoc, you'll find Dr. Paul Hall.
Good to see you.
Yeah, and we were in school together a long time ago, and the school is still there. That's miracle number one for tonight's show. But in any event, Paul is a retired pastor. Dr. Hall is a theologian. He's a pastor. He's a counselor. He's a man who has been used by God to touch many lives for many, many, many years. And he's been closer than a brother to me all these years. And it's great to see you, brother. And take
care. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, you betcha. See you later. So hang on. We're going to go together now and fly to the East Coast, actually the South. It's actually the South part of the East Coast, and that's in the great metropolis there in Dalton, Georgia. When we get there, we're going to introduce you to Steph and Craig Thayer. Steph is on the left, Stephanie, and we call her Steph, and on the right is her husband, Tank, and we're going to tell you why. Stephanie is one of the most godly, wonderful women you will ever meet, a great mother, a business lady, a tremendous wife and support for her husband, and she's just a champion in our book. You'll never meet anybody any better. And Steph, we appreciate and love you, and so glad that you're there. And on her left, right there, you'll find Dr. Tank, and we call him Tank because at 6'7", you call him anything he wants us to call him. And so he goes by Tank. Tank is a surgeon, a trauma surgeon. And those are the guys that call him when they're not sure what to do. And he makes decisions. I never forget the first time I met him when he put his hands up and says, oh, lift up my hands as I'm scrubbing down and say, Lord, use my hands to perform the surgery you'd have me to do tonight. So Tank is there. He's also, they've done missionary work together. They've helped people in Africa. They've been together in the Caribbean area. And so they're in Georgia. They shine a great light for the love of Christ with everybody that they meet out of Dalton there. And as we think about this dynamic team, they've got two sons, and they're just now empty nesters in one way with their kids, and they're two champion young men. They're water polo players, and Tank played. He's an Olympic player, a great coach in water polo. It's death defying as far as I'm concerned, water polo. But anyway, when you get in the middle of that game, so in any event, these are two people you want to get to know and meet, and I'm going to invite you as we're doing this to peek at our page, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. There's last week's show. We had Janet with us from the Golden State Republican Women, and you'll want to check in on there, and as you scroll down, you'll find there's the stories of the guys and gals on the team, and you get to know them. There's our shows each and every week back for 5 years or more, and you'll get to know other people more this way. So check in with them, text them, and let them know that you're praying for them, and you'll be able to check in. There's my book, and you'll find that Tank has a book there. There it is. It's called Saved, and you'll want to get a copy of Saved. It's Finding God in the Ordinary Things of Life, one trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles of his life. You'll love getting to know Tank and seeing what God has done in his life, and he and Steph together, you'll really look forward to knowing them as a dynamic duo, we call them. So if we just join together and jump on the plane and come back this way with Paul, and we head west over Alabama, Mississippi, northern Louisiana, and make our flight pattern drop down, coming into McKinney, Texas. Actually, you better not land there. The plane's too big. You better go in Dallas first, and then go into McKinney, and you'll find right there Ron Greer, one of our favorite pastors anywhere in the nation. Ron is a great brother in the Lord. He was with Man in the Mirror, and Ron counsels men as to what God's doing in their lives and comes up with, as he shares scripture and helps them to grow on their walk, men who better know the relationship with Jesus Christ better. They become better husbands, better workers, better neighbors. They just become greater men because the love of Christ goes through them, and Ron shares that with everybody. And Ron is one of the best brothers in the Lord you'll ever meet. And we just love and appreciate him also. So this is a great team right here. And he's in McKinney, Texas. And it's Greer for the last name. Got it down, Ron. How about that? So we're set to go. So tonight, you're going to find we've got an exciting program for you tonight. We have, as you know, Raina Rose Calloway and her husband, Caleb. And I hope you read, we've got a lot of feedback on it. We did talk about them. It's a very special group that we have, the two of them. She and her husband are experiencing and have experienced God's faithfulness, as she and the band that she sings and writes for have encouraged and drawn many, many people to Christ, and also to what it means to have the Christian values and what that means. They perform on occasions, and we're one of Charlie Kirk's favorite bands too out here on the West Coast. They played for him and other places. In fact, she wrote a beautiful song entitled Remember Me, and we all want to remember what Charlie Kirk stood for, the life that he lived, and to continue to pray for his message going out as it is. Her musical talent and heart for people is truly a gift from God, and she often shares one of her favorite messages. I want to get this out to you from God's Word, and you can find it in places, but particularly Matthew 25, 14 to 30, and that's the parable of the talents. And in her own words, she said, you know, Pastor Joe, when we were all talking, she said, God wants you to take the gift and not bury it. When God gives you a gift, don't bury it under a rock somewhere. Let him use it for his glory. Use it for the glory of God. And so tonight they're here to share some of that story with us, and we're anxious to meet. So we want you to know, Caleb and Raina, that we do the world famous round of applause. And it goes like this. Welcome to Raising Expectations. That's the only time you'll ever get the round of applause like that, and it's known worldwide. Thanks for being with us. Tell us a little bit about you both and about your story. And then we'll jump in with you as you go. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. He's here for the first time on camera. He's usually in the background doing things. And I'm usually the one up in front of the cameras and on the stage and things like that, and he's always supporting from the background. But yeah, I have a band called Crowns of Glory, and we go to Christian festivals, fairgrounds, if churches have like a vision night or some big thing where they want a band to really come in and just, praise God, the Holy Spirit just comes through us and it ends up being a really powerful night. Actually, we were in the Bay Area on Friday doing an event, and we were doing Speak Jesus at the end. I was just speaking Jesus over their job, speaking Jesus over their children, speaking Jesus over everything. And I told the band on the way home, I said, I really pray that I can never manufacture this, that it's always a move of the Spirit, that it's not something I can ever perform or make happen, but it's just that we show up and we allow the Spirit to come through it, and then and people feel that power because it's God's power. Like you said, it's not raising expectations what we can do, it's just what He can do, and we show up and we allow Him to do it through us, and our part is just the showing up.
Amen. Well, this group likes music. Go ahead, Steph. I think you had something you were going to say.
I was just agreeing with you. I think the moment that we get performative or routine or ritualistic, and not we all like routine, but the Lord wants a relationship with us. No, Ron does not like routine, right? The Holy Spirit is not contained in a formula necessarily. And so I love what you said, and I think it's really important to remember that as believers, that sometimes even I do the Lord's Prayer most mornings. I go hide in my closet and I sit with each line and try to go, what does this actually mean? Right? Because I memorized it as a child, a lot of us did. But when I just say it, it doesn't mean anything. So I love that you're leading worship with that at the forefront, because I'm sure you don't even know the ripple effect that that will have for those listening and receiving, right?
Yeah, and it's lovely that we, being a guest band, we do get to hear a lot of like, the Spirit really moved. I could just feel God through this room and things like that. But like you said, I'll never know the extent of what God does. And I was telling the pastor, because I recently started building a worship team up in Reno, which I found out that Reno is the second least churched city in the entire nation. And then, of course, the Bay Area of San Francisco is the first. And so I was telling the pastor in the Bay Area, I'm like, I just am so humbled and say, thank you, God, that you would send me to like the Ninevehs of America and just be a small part of what you're doing to have revival in these cities that right now are the least churched. But by the grace of God, revival is going to come in those places. And I'm like, the fact that He allows me to just be a tiny part of what He's doing there is just such an honor and so humbling that I just thank Him every day.
Amen. Anybody have a thought there?
It just made me think of Toby Mac's song about, oh, just God coming in and taking over, right?
Take my show.
Take my show.
Yeah.
And I don't know when he first wrote that, he took it to some of his publishers and stuff, and they said, don't do this. I'm going to tell Fraser not to do it. He goes, no way, I got to do this. This is what you said. It's not about you, it's about God.
Amen.
Exactly. And showing up and using what He's given us. That's one thing. I was talking to Pastor Joe the other day, that when I'm leading these worship teams, which is actually how I got to Northern California, was I was at a worship leader event in Nashville. It was a big conference, and all the worship leaders there were like big mega church, six-figure worship leaders. And I'm like, how did I even get here? I don't know. Like Cece Winans led the worship. Like, I mean, it was just insane, right? And Charity Gale and her husband taught one of the classes that I was taking in like a little 20-person tiny class. Like, it was just insane. But from there, Cece Winans leading worship, because she just steps out of the way and the Holy Spirit just moves, right? And the Holy Spirit, so strong it was nearly audible, said, go up to Northern California, the specific city that I knew, and said, and build them a worship team. And so God confirmed it a few times, and I packed my little two-seater convertible full of guitars and keyboard and all the clothes I could buy, like fit in this tiny car. And I just drove not knowing if they would pay me anything, where I'm really going to live. What, like, I knew nothing except for the path. And when I called the pastors, they said, that's exactly what we've been praying for. God said, don't hire anybody. Well, I'll send the person. And so I'm like, okay, here I come. And so doing that, just like when the Lord says go, showing up and doing it, you know, that's our part in investing our talent. So when I build these worship teams, one of the things I'm always talking about is like, you know, there's some worship leaders who have 10 talents, even just in worship team. They can play drums, they can play bass, they can sing, they, you know, but I'm like, whether you have one or whether you have 10, like when you invest it in the kingdom, this is the most valuable investment you can ever make. It's going to be more valuable than any stock, any real estate investment, because this is eternal. Every time you invest in the kingdom, it's forever. And we can't just bury the things that God gives us. When he gives us these talents, we have to take lessons. We have to, you know, go on YouTube and watch videos on how to get better. We always have to be investing in that talent and then investing that talent into the kingdom.
Man, that's right.
So tell us a little bit about how you guys got started and where you got started.
Sure. So one little detail is Caleb, actually, he just does everything from the background. He does play drums, but not for my band.
Ah.
And he mostly works so that I can go tour around the state you know, and he's at home. He also keeps me grounded with the Sabbath and making sure that, like, I'm not saying yes to 8,000 things, but saying yes to the 500 that are important, you know. So he's definitely the Mary to my Martha. He helps me to focus on the one thing and not be so busy with many things, because I do get asked to do a lot of things. And I, without him, would probably say yes to every single one and be really burned out.
Kate, if she meant Mark to her Martha, not like Mary, but don't worry.
there's certainly, as a drummer, rhythm is a thing that I pay attention to. And I think that maybe be the distinction I draw between routine and rote incantation. But rhythm is a very useful thing to have in your life.
Amen.
Yeah,
it's also the most important thing of music, because without you setting the beat, nothing else can follow.
Yeah. And as Stephanie was talking about the Lord's Prayer in the morning, and, you know, that part's routine, but then the relationship comes as she's asking, like, and where do I apply this? And what does this mean to me today? Caleb definitely keeps us in the routine of going through the office, daily office.
Scriptural readings.
Yeah, scriptural readings, like, every morning, so that in 3 years we go through the whole Bible, and we're going through the Psalms every single month. And, like, in the morning, he's making sure that we are in the Word, and in the evening, he's making sure we're in the Word, and we're praying and keeping us on a rhythm without being so locked into a routine that can't have any flexibility either. So, but again, he definitely keeps me grounded from going out into outer space and doing a million things that you know, that aren't the one thing always, even though they might be church, you know, that doesn't always mean it's the one thing that's necessary.
Amen. Amen. So you guys are from, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, sorry. Ron. It's fine.
So you guys are from where, and how long you've been doing it, and what led you to this?
So we're in NorCal, and it's actually interesting. So that CC Winan event where the Lord's like, go up to that church and build them a worship team. And that's exactly what they needed and we're praying for. I got there, and 3 months later, he was changing churches and walked into that church. And and then
walked in literally off the street.
Literally off the street. It was like he could have walked from his apartment at the time to that church. And so we met, and I was actually on a dating fast. I was like, Lord, I just need you to pick the person. So I'm not dating anyone until the first 40 days of the year were over. And that was in like October. He walks in December. And then after the fast, we were at a housewarming party, and I don't know, he said something like synoptic gospels and the
Jesuit monks.
Jesuit monks and stuff, and I was like, it was like scales fell off my eyes, and I'm like, have you, in my mind, have you been this tall and handsome like the whole time? And so about a month later, we started going on Bible walks, and we were just friends, of course. And we would talk about a book of the Bible.
Come on, Caleb.
We started with Lamentations and made our way. But he said he knew he loved me on the Thessalonians walk. That's when he knew. And about a month of that, we started dating. 3 months later, we were engaged. 3 months later, we were married. And the band started kind of within that time. I wrote a song and shared it with a worship leader group. And what my now guitar player was like, hey, would you come jam that at my church? And I'm thinking we're going to sit in the pews and make the song better. They have this big recording studio in their church. We recorded like 2 songs that day. The sound engineer is a drummer too. We just like got them all recorded. And then I was praying and the Lord sent me a female bass player who could sing backups. Cause I'm like, for now, while we're small, we can just have 2 hotels, 2 girls in one, 2 guys in the other. We're, you know, easy to travel. So the Lord sent all the people we needed. And and then it's just been, you know, we go one place and they ask us back and they refer us and they ask us back. And it's been a great little rhythm. And Caleb's been really supportive. We kind of live on a homestead and he makes sure all the homesteading stuff gets good rhythms. So nothing falls in over our heads. And so that it's just kind of, it's all been intentional but serendipitous at the same time. So like I didn't try to start a band, you know, I've written a lot of songs over the years. Yeah. And the band has taken what we call, if you ever watched Friends growing up, the smelly cat versions that I write. And they take them and make them like these really cool rock and roll songs in one that every time I'm like, don't sing Red Hot Chili Peppers, don't sing Red Hot Chili Peppers, because it's like it's got that kind of vibe to it. And so, yeah, we've just shown up and the Lord's taken it to wherever he wants to take it.
Wow. Somebody heard you down in Texas because Charles Lingerfeld, you know, he just loves all you guys. And he called me up on the phone and says, you've got to talk to this lady and you've got to hear what they're doing. He and his pastor, you remember he was on once with the senator's father. We had them on the show. You might remember.
Yes.
And he said, you've got to hear. So you made a great impact. God spoke to their hearts and he's old like me. So that was good. You know?
Well, yeah, he's great. He used to run the television show that I had my show on for a long time. And that's how I met Charlie back in the day. It was, you know, when we were both I had my TV show. Charlie was supposed to come on the show, but it was like right before he got married and he was just way too busy. And, you know, at the time, you don't think people are going to be that big of a deal, you know. You know, it's just like another guy that was supposed to be on my show at the time. But then, you know, I was really honored that we got to play for his birthday event this year in the Capitol and honor him, because I've actually followed him more in the years since he was supposed to be on my show than I didn't really even know who he was back then.
Funny. I have a comment for you. I was doing research on you before and I found your social medias and I love that you have this post that you'll put up from time to time. And it says temporarily closed for spiritual maintenance. I love that. I think that's fantastic because, you know, we need a fasting season from online.
Absolutely.
At times. Yeah. And so I think that's really, really healthy. It cracked me up. And then I also noticed, looking you up, that you're an author. Do you want to share anything about that?
Sure. Yeah. So years ago, it's funny because when Caleb and I first met and he read my book, he was like, wow, it's pretty bold putting a book out like in your 30s, you know. But, and it is, because, you know, you look back at it in your 40s, and you're like, huh. the kid that invited us to play for the Charlie Kirk event, I was telling him, I'm like, you know, I'm a little more conservative than I was when I wrote this book. And he's like, yes, but the world has changed. Like, you didn't need to be as conservative back when you wrote that book, you know, because the world wasn't so crazy. And, you know, I'm sure you've seen that meme where, you know, you stay in place, but at one point you're like liberal, and then suddenly you're like midline, and then you're like a right wing, you know, conservative conspiracy theorist. All the, but you haven't changed as the world shifts around. You know? So I was like, I feel like I was more liberal back then. But yeah, the world has changed since I wrote that book. It was, it's nothing more than what Paul has said. You know, Paul said that there's some benefit in exercising the body, but exercising the soul is what's really going to benefit you for eternity. And so, especially with, you know, millennial Gen Z, but really all, every generation has kind of understood if we eat a certain way and we move a certain way, we're going to feel a certain way. You're going to feel great if you eat well and move right. And if you sit on the pizza, if you sit on the sofa eating pizza and ice cream like every night, you're not going to feel great, right? But with our soul, all these generations have not seemed to put together, like, the decisions I make. If I'm out getting drunk and having one night stands, why do I feel so empty inside? Why do I feel spiritually lethargic? It seems like they're not putting it together. So I basically just took Paul's words and put it in a modern sense. I've been teaching Pilates for 20 something years, kind of brought in the personal training and Pilates side of that. And it's like, here's the ways we exercise our soul, or like we fast. So like, sick people are in intermittent fasting right now. We fast from social media for our soul. Like, we fast from food to rest the gut and get your cells to regenerate. But our soul regenerates when we fast with a purpose for the Lord.
There is spiritual authority in the sort of basic understanding of fasting as well, though, when there was apparently a specific class of demon casting out that Jesus did, and that type only comes out with prayer and fasting. We've had actually direct experience of that.
Absolutely.
So the broadening our understanding of fasting is good, I think, and also there really is something spiritual there about about abstaining from food. So
yeah, for the Charlie Kirk event, actually, you know, I let every band member know that this is a public event outside at the Capitol. We are taking a risk to play for this. And one of my band members didn't want to do it. We replaced them for the day, but I was fasting. I think 48 hours or something before the event and through the event, you know, and people that we were doing the event with were getting together the night before and, you know, having some appetizers and trying to, and I was just like, there are big spiritual players at play right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we need to be praying and fasting, because some of these demons can only be cast out through prayer and fasting. And it poured that day. And I really think, because Antifa had showed up at an event just a few days prior, I'm like, I really think it kept Antifa from being at the event, because it was pouring rain and we had tents all over all the equipment and blankets on the equipment and things. But, and there was people out there with umbrellas, just still praising the Lord with like one hand up and the umbrella in their hand, you know? But I do feel like there is that authority, yes, over the demons when we pray and we fast and we're not thinking about the next meal, and we're depriving that part of the body to let the soul be more in tune.
Yeah, it's to delay the flesh.
So
would you give up your fleshly desires, which includes food, mm-hmm. to you, it gets you closer.
Yes.
I you haven't heard this yet because you're not on here every week, but I've shared a bit the last probably 3 months. I've been studying the life of Jesus, but trying to have a lens not with my Western Christian culture, which is really hard because I was, you know, raised with felt boards and the whole thing. And so I found this amazing free resource online. I'm going through, I'm just now in the beginning of his third year of ministry. But what I love is he's baptized, comes up, you know, Holy Spirit shows up, different versions of it, the dove or, you know, celebration. And immediately he's taken to the wilderness, right? So he's fasting, he's tested, both in a spiritual way and in an earthly way, and then comes back. And that's when immediately after you see his first miracle with water to wine. Yeah. And so I think it's interesting that we often expect that somehow we would have less than what Jesus had, right? Like he's the physical representation of that. We should expect like that it would be harder for us. And so to appreciate that physical sacrifice, which is in fasting, but also spiritual sacrifice, which also both of those teach us to be prepared for the battles that we're going to go into, right? We have to be prepared before we're doing all the cool things we want to do, right? It's what nobody's seeing. That's like the important part. And everybody thinks it's the what you see that's the important. Well, you wouldn't be able to do that if you weren't over here, like doing your fasting preparation.
You talked about being in your closet, and that's actually something I talk about in the book. I also like to be like literally in the closet. Mostly like sensory deprivation, I think, is great in the closet. But one of the things I talk about in the book is if Christ himself, Emmanuel, God with us, essentially could not get through this life without going away from his disciples and getting alone with God, how do we think we can do this? That we could get through life without getting away and being alone with God, whether that's away to the closet or just... or a way to a retreat, but like he would physically get up and they're always like, where's Jesus? They're looking for Jesus, you know, like, and he's alone with the Father. And so I often think, and I wrote about it in the book, like how in the world do we think that we could get through this life without silent prayer, listening for God, prayer journal, like, it's just not a good, and especially people in the church, you know, and again, that's where he's, helps me to focus on the one thing and not be too much of a Martha and doing so many things, but to slow down and make sure that I'm focused on the one thing. And then the few things that I do choose are focused on that one thing, but without slowing down, without taking that time to get away, we're just spinning around telling Jesus to make Mary come help us.
Exactly.
Well, you know, you go all the way back to the beginning, and God said 6 days, and the seventh is the Sabbath, right? The day of rest. And it has been a consistent theme throughout Scripture. You know, there are times you're to be quiet and you rest from everything else. And even as you mentioned, right, from food and anything that draws your attention away. And you go, okay, well, what's the point? Well, the point is, if I'm no longer focusing on these things, then my attention is drawn to the Lord. And it's without the distraction and the noise, I can hear, I can see and understand. And I get to know him and sense him even more and better. It's a growth process. And as you said, I think one of the reasons the church is so anemic and ineffective is that we've lost our, I did this Sunday, and I probably stated it a better way because people got mad. Let's see. I think we've lost our view of who God is, right? We've lost the view and this reality of us being in his presence. So you are in the presence of the holy, sovereign ruler of the universe, and you're flippantly going through your life, you know, not listening, not hearing, not following, and all the time he's speaking. We've lost that. So we've lost a sense of awe. We've lost this sense of his majesty. We've lost a sense of his glory. We've lost all that. It says we take for granted that, you know, well, okay, I say my little prayer in the morning. I read 5 minutes, and then I'm going to go about the rest of my day. Well, you didn't spend time with me. I remember my last thing. One of my favorite songs back in the day was Lonnie O'Harris had a song called I miss my time with you. Mm-hmm. And the first time I heard it, I'm telling you, it convicted me to the depths of my heart. Mm. It's just, there I was just waiting, right? Mm-hmm. I can't even go without tearing up anyway. But it's an idea that God is there. He's waiting. He has a place for us. And we are flippantly living our lives without it. And then we live by trial and error, right? Or we live by panic and you know, emergencies here and there. When he says, be still, separate yourself, and mm-hmm. come in my presence.
Absolutely.
Yes. Cease striving. And I think if you look at the context of that psalm, there's a lot of pictures of battle and warfare that surround that cease striving. So it's almost like, you know, just like put down the weapons for a minute and know it is kind of the flavor I get when I read that song.
Yes. Well, and, well, speaking of that, having one of the things that you train on and learn to mimic in the military, you go to combat training. Well, I mean, one of the things you do there is that it is part of the routine is no matter how intense your scouting is, and you know the enemy there all the time, you must take time somewhere in between there. You post two guards and you take time to just disconnect and reorganize yourself. And everybody knows if you don't do that in combat, eventually you'll get worn out and eventually you'll lose your awareness of where the enemy is and his tactics, and then he'll attack you. You'll end up dead or in deep trouble. And it's the same thing that in our spiritual lives.
Even more so.
Yeah.
I had this conversation with Chuck Smith Jr., who, if you saw the book, he endorsed the back of the book. But we were talking about one time I was looking into orthodoxy because I was just trying to find what is the closest thing to the way. Because like you said, the churches are anemic. You're not finding the way that we saw in the Bible really anywhere. But I was like, maybe orthodoxy, that says change the least, I guess. So, you know, I'm looking into orthodoxy, looking into Catholicism, and just kind of seeing like the whole body of Christianity. And Chuck was saying, and I was saying, you know, I like the sacred ritual in the Orthodox and Catholic Church. I like that they still are in awe of God, that they are, you know, coming to him with a reverence that I'm like in the non-denominational side, we kind of see like, I am a friend of God, but they forget the awe, you know? And maybe on the other side, they forget the friendship, you know? But, and Chuck was saying, you know, it's nice when you've gotten to kind of peek over the fence and see the other parts of the body and how they operate, because you realize that we all miss something, you know, they might miss the friend of Jesus part sometimes. And we in the more non-denominational side, speaking for myself, might miss the sacred, awe-inspiring, I am in the presence of the holy God part of things. And when we can appreciate the arm of the body and the leg of the body and the ear of the body and not think, oh, well, they have it wrong and we have it right. I think we can start to say, oh, I could really use more of that sacred side, or I could use more of that trusting God as my friend part of, because it's all part of what the word talks about. Just certain denominations focus on certain parts.
Well, the last staff position I held before I got married, we read a book on prayer, and we got to the chapter of where, how God leads through prayer. And as we were discussing it in our staff meeting, I just raised my hand. I said, you know, we pray for some things in our life, and when God answers that prayer, we're surprised. You know, my first husband passed away in 18, and I had to readjust my life again as a single person. And after about a couple of years, I said, okay, Lord, I've done this solitary thing for 2 years. I'm ready for a new partner, a new companion, a new soulmate. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. And then somebody called Joe Schofield entered my life again. And I was sitting in my apartment. I said, Lord, how can this happen? And how it happened? And I was at Psalms 46:10 thing. I was sitting there just trying to listen. He says, "This is what you prayed for." I said, "Okay, that's good." So, you know, it's that awness that we forget that he does answer prayer. And
Amen.
we shouldn't be surprised, but we should be blessed and understand this is the culmination of our faith. This is where we have that time, that awness, that spiritual relationship, if you will. And so, you know, I've learned that it's not just praying, it's believing and having the
Absolutely.
faith that he will answer our prayers in his time.
Amen.
You know, not
Amen.
our time. So it's his time that always is the, for me, the turning point. So
When I speak at churches, I tell a funny joke to illustrate this. It's one of my dad's jokes. But I say, like, it's really important to me to have some sort of Ebenezer stone to remember the ways that God showed up. We prayed and he showed up, we prayed and he showed up. So I like to keep a prayer journal or sometimes a prayer box where I put the prayers in and then I take them out every once in a while and see how he's answered them. But my dad, he tells Irish jokes, and this is borderline whether I should tell it at churches or not, but as are any Irish joke. And every Irish, he says they're stories, not jokes, but centers around a character called Paddy O'Brien. So anyway, Paddy O'Brien,
Oh.
he needs to go into the big city to get a job. And he's going through the parking lot. He cannot find a parking space anywhere, going up and down the parking structure, saying, "Oh, Father, please find me a parking space." He's going around, nothing opens up. He says, "Father, give me a parking space. I'll go to Mass every Sunday." Nothing. He's starting to sweat some whiskey bullets from the night before. He goes, "Father, give me a parking space and I'll give up the drink." Lo and behold, a big parking space as if out of heaven opens up with light everywhere. And he says, "Never mind, Father, I found one." And I think this is how we get when we don't write down our prayers or note somewhere that we prayed about this thing. We say, "Never mind, Father, it worked out." You know, but
this
like
one.
you said, we pray for these things and he answers. And when we can be acknowledge, like, "I asked and the Lord answered. I asked and the Lord answered." It also helps us to believe the next time we pray a little bit more, you know, and the next time, because we see he's answered, he's answered, he's been so faithful. Or, you know, when we're in hard times and then we see how he brought us through that, the next time we go through a hard time, it's still hard, but we're like, "He brought me through this one and this one and this one." It's just a matter of time.
Yeah,
Yeah,
God's
we had that
timing
conversation
too.
last week.
Yeah, it is God's timing. You know, the 40 days of the fast reminds me, 40 days of Jesus's fast reminds me of Moses and his life being sort of divided up into three sections of 40 years. That middle section, man, 40 years as a sheep herder, that's a long time to be out there with those smelly animals.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, he gives us an intellect, and we spend so much time with educating that intellect, learning this, being that, doing this, doing that, all for varied reasons. And then all of a sudden, it reminds me of the fighter pilot. You know, he can see, he can dive, he can swoop, he can spin, he can do all kinds of things, like one, like Rob used to tell us with the F-14. And then you realize that all of a sudden you're in a cloud bank and you can't see anything. You can't see anything at all. You got to close your eyes, shut your windows, and stare at your instruments and hope that those instruments will do exactly what they're supposed to. And Jesus never fails. His instruments say, "Do this." When you do, poof, you come right out where you're supposed to be, and you see what he's done, like Caleb was saying there too. So, yeah, well, God is a great God. He does great things. And sometimes you need to remember our God is an awesome God. It's not just a song, it's a fact that empowers our lives. That's for sure.
Amen.
We got a
Now,
couple of minutes. Who's got a thought? Ron, go ahead, Ron.
I still miss. Where are you from originally, both of you guys?
I'm more of a NorCal native, and she's SoCal, so.
Yeah, it's SoCal, but
Oh.
I have lived
Oh,
all
okay.
around the world throughout my life. So
Okay. All right.
when people ask me where I'm from, I'm like, "What do you mean by
Shine.
that?"
I thought another states, and they went and you moved. I didn't think anybody was born in California. I thought you'd just get drug out there or something, you know.
Yeah, sometimes you're born here, you know, you got to get out, and then and then you come back and you pull those cities out of the.
Yes, you should get outside your room every once in a while, hallway, or even so.
That's right. We're taking California back. God's doing some great things out here.
Amen.
God's blessing.
Paul, Paul, run for you for the office there.
I saw this meme, and the meme said, "I'm not in a good place right now. Just California, you know that." I've really just an observation. When our guests are going to come on, I think we kind of have a general idea of kind of the conversation and things. But I think it's so much fun to watch where God takes the conversation.
Amen.
And it's been really fun, and it's been good and enlightening, you know, to listen, and especially talking about the fasting and things like that. And I wonder sometimes when we look for grand things, but God is in the small things. When I was in college at Hardin Simmons, where Melba and Joe, we were all kind of there at the same time. I served as the pastor of a part-time church, if that makes sense. They were Baptist on one Sunday and Methodist the next, and then they were Baptist, and then they were Methodist, because there weren't enough people to, you know, call a full-time pastor. But I remember the joy of going to that little church out in the middle of Texas, and the guy that was leading the music, first of all, the pianist played with one finger, and she used her left foot for the expression pedal. And so it was really kind of fun to watch. She tapped that out with one finger. But the music director swung his hand around his head and literally said, "Just jump in anywhere. Just jump in anywhere." And, you know, it was so fun, because there were about 30 people in that little church, but boy, did they love the Lord. And it was so much of a blessing to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And so to look for God in the small places, to see that we don't have to be grand. We don't have to have the speaker and the lights, and we don't have to have, you know, the soundboard and all this kind of things. All we need is the desire to have a face-to-face with the living God who loves us more than we can comprehend. And we can have that. And I think it's a wonderful thing. And for people who are listening, and it might be kind of a real question in mind, what in the world are you talking about? Because it's easy for us to talk heavenly language, or church language, that they might not understand. But just to open your heart, be willing to be encountered by a God who loves you so much, and waiting to have that relationship. It's so heartwarming to know that it's happening. So I have a question for you. It's a real quick question. What are you seeing, Caleb and Raina? What are you seeing as you go into these churches and you share your heart? Do you see a vibrancy? Do you see an aliveness? Do you see an expectation? But what are you seeing in people's lives when you go in and share your faith? You know, can you tell us?
I mean, most of these places are in the church. It just depends. You know, there's some, you know, recovery ministries that people are really hurting. You know, relapse is part of recovery, and they're dealing with these kind of things. And they're dealing with stuff that I will never really fully understand, but we're able to, like I said, they encountered the Holy Spirit in a way that was experienced. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know what God will do with that. I just know when they've come up to me afterward and say, like, someone came up to me afterward actually on Friday and was saying, like, "Wow, I could just really feel the Holy Spirit through what you do." And I said, "Yeah, you know, I tell the band that if we're not doing this in the Holy Spirit, we need to quit and go find something better to do with our time." Mm-hmm. Because it really needs to be in the Spirit. And, you know, I've seen, we played at some youth groups, and these kids are just on fire for the Lord. And they're the kind that play multiple instruments, and they're starting bands and writing songs. So it's really great. You know, there's just such a spectrum, as there probably always has been from the beginning of time, where you've got very broken people really trying to have a relationship with the Lord and struggling. And then you've got people just completely on fire, and then you've got the in-betweens as well. It's all over the place, but it's great to worship is such a visceral experience. In fact, before we were married, I went, and it was right after COVID, and I went to the church, and the people I was with, we were late for worship because not because of me, and I was really angry in my seat, and I was telling the Lord, like, oh God, I'm so angry. Why am I angry? And I had been doing a film project about real life love stories and different people in the church and how they have a good marriage and things. And the Lord convicted me, said, I want you to look for in marriage what you have with me. Like, I am your first love. You are my bride. I am your bridegroom. And he's like, you know, you have the word, you have prayer, like conversing with me. And he's like, worship is the intimacy. You know, it is this most intimate thing, and that we feel it in our whole body as we come to him, and you know, we lift our hands, we fall on our knees. There's a physicalness to worship. And so I think being able to bring that, and we talked about a battle earlier. I often talk to my band and worship leaders, like, the Lord sent the worshipers before even the front line. To bring his presence was the most important thing in the battle. And so to be entrusted with something like that is not something we take lightly. And so this is where I see people opening their hearts, whether they are really, really struggling or really on fire. Their hearts are open when you know, you've just come out of a really powerful worship experience.
Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our time goes away so quick, and we're here on Monday night so often, and we just want you to know, Steph, I was going to pitch it, but I think we'll just let them know, huh? Real quick. Folks, we just appreciate you. We are here raising expectations. If you go to our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, you can find us. Many of you are following right now. I've had some input from you. So we just invite you to look there. If you feel the Lord lead in your heart anyway to give a gift to help us keep our program on the radio and on the podcast TV there, we just would appreciate your help. It's the way it comes. And those of you that are giving, God bless you. Thank you so much for your gifts. And we just thank God for you and pray that he meets you to needs. It's according to our time, 6:55. So we're just about out of time. And we want you to know that we're glad you were with us. We want you to know, Raina and Caleb, what a blessing it was to meet you guys tonight. And I'm just going to use the secret password as pumpkin pie, and we're going to go from there. And that's going to be that.
Green
We'll
olives.
fill you in with green olives too. We'll fill you in on that next time, because we're going to twist their arms and bring them back. All in favor, say aye. Aye. That's what we'll do. God bless you and keep you. And I tell you what, real quick, Tank, give us the 30-second prayer. Ask God to bless our lives, would you?
Lord, thank you for the honor, sir. Dear God, as was said tonight, please keep us and our minds with you, however we should be, how hallowed you are, God, as the Lord's Prayer, that even in Psalms 23, that we shall not want. Our flesh wants us to veer away and think about fleshly things. Let us be in green pastures and quiet, not really water, quiet, so that we can reflect on you. And when we're stupid and we travel outside of that into the valley of the shadow of death, you're still there with rod and staff to protect us and keep us safe. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Thank you, Ted. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for
Yeah.
tonight. And
Thank
we'll
you.
be talking with you guys, okay, since we're not that far. That'll work out well. And Ron, good to see you, brother. Love you, man. Paul,
See you guys.
okay.
Bless you all.
Nice to meet you
Nice to
all.
meet you guys.
Thank you.
We'll
Thank
see you
you.
guys
More next
later.
time.
Bye-bye. God bless you all.
Blessing.
You too.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.